tonight we're going to get to the bottom of this. I didn't feel good about this from the get-go. I didn't even talk about it on the radio. I don't think I even mentioned it, but if it is, it was a very short mention. Because I didn't feel good with what happened, and when I heard the young man be interviewed on another radio show, the words he was using, language he was using, I would not want him on my radio show for anything in the world. His attitude, his character, in my opinion, his moral character is lacking a great deal. I felt that just listening to this young man talk. Well, tonight we're going to have his daddy on. The young boy's name is Jonathan. His daddy's name is John Irish. He's coming on, and at the risk of his own well-being, yeah, he's already been threatened at least twice by his son for trying to expose what's going on tonight. So please stay tuned to this. And if you listen to what's happening with this young man and his girlfriend, back up and look at it again. John Irish, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Pastor Paul. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, sir, and I mean that. I want to tell you I respect what you're doing highly. I know you're doing it at great risk to yourself. You've already been threatened at least twice by your son. But I'm so honored that you'll be on here to share this story with the people and to kind of break it on our show to help get people's eyes open to the truth, what's going on with this story. Tell folks a little bit about yourself and about your son and what's happening, if you don't mind.
Well, Jonathan was the one and only son I've had with marriage to his mother, which dissolved after 15 years because of an adultery, not mine. And Jonathan took the breakup extremely harshly. But before the breakup, when Jonathan was 8 years old, he was struck in the face with a rock from a lawnmower that ripped his left eye out and the optic nerve. So he is blind in the left eye. He actually has a plastic prosthetic. Some people call it a glass eye. That itself has led to a lot of emotional and physical issues over his life. Approximately 3 or 4 years ago, he took up with the wife of a friend of his who was overseas in the military. And this was Stephanie, who is now the mother of the baby in question.
Well, now, her husband was in Iraq or Iran, I mean, Afghanistan or where?
I'm not exactly sure. All I know, he was over in the Middle East somewhere on assignment, and my son basically interfered with the marriage, which is identical to what happened to his mother and I, where an outsider stepped into the marriage. And Jonathan took Stephanie and her two kids, which were just little toddlers at the time, and took up housekeeping with them. And about 16 or 18 months ago, due to proven abuse of the two children, DCYF in New Hampshire took those two children into protective custody.
Now, the thing is, one step at a time, so I don't mean to keep interrupting, John, but I want people to understand that I have very little respect for the CPS. I really do. Very little respect for them. I've seen too many calls on that, and I think a lot more intentional. But what was the mother doing that would warrant, in your mind, the children being taken?
Well, it was a combination of Jonathan and the mother slapping, neglecting the children. There were countless cases of unexplained injury, split lips, bruising. At one point, one of their babysitters, which is what culminated in the child services taking the kids away, a babysitter one evening, as soon as Jonathan and Stephanie left the house, took the two kids, put them in her car, and took them to the hospital where they were examined, and the doctor determined there was, in fact, physical abuse going on. And that was about 16, 18 months ago.
Now, how old were the children?
2, 3 years old.
Okay.
I didn't keep that close track of them because they technically aren't related to me.
Right.
Now, jump forward to about a month ago, the courts made a decision that the amount of abuse that had been proven without question by countless investigations warranted permanent dissolution of Stephanie's parental rights with those two children.
So she's not allowed to see him at all?
With some extreme supervision. That was the last of it, but as I understand the present writ, all of her rights as a parent have been taken away now.
Well, Stephanie had problems with alcohol, drugs, or something also?
Other than the fact that she was allowing herself to be constantly beaten by Jonathan. Now, you got to understand, this is my son, so this is probably the hardest thing a parent has to do, is to come public and say, yeah, my son's been beating somebody up.
Especially a woman, yes.
But I listened to the abuse that he gave her over the phone during conversations with him, when she would try to say something, and he would turn around, and the language just, and the screaming and the violence at her just was totally uncalled for. And I know that during Stephanie's pregnancy, DCYF has been watching very carefully because they are on welfare, food stamps, the whole gambit. Basically, Jonathan refuses to work. He keeps claiming that his lost eye prevents him from working and all sorts of other excuses. So he does collect Social Security income, supplemental income from that, and he works under the table for a couple of things, including at a gun shop in the Epsom area. And DCYF was keeping a real close watch, and when they found out that Stephanie was due to deliver, they had everything in place. So that when the baby was delivered in the hospital, within a short period of time, DCYF officials who had been placed in the hospital went in, picked up the baby with a police escort, and they did pat Jonathan down just as a matter of safety because he is known to carry weapons. He presently has a court case against him for carrying a concealed weapon without a permit. And that's just one of many charges that have been out there. I'd actually draw people's attention to the front page news story of October 9th for the Concord, New Hampshire Monitor, the Concord Monitor newspaper, a story written by Daniel Barrick about the situation. And he does an absolutely excellent job of reporting it, totally unbiased. But he brings out a lot of the details of past court appearances, past problems with police departments in Rochester, Dover, Epsom, the history of the violence and the problems with this couple is astounding. And the fact that they took the child away was the best thing that could have happened. The one mistake, the one and only mistake that was made by the DCYF offices was that when they submitted the affidavit to the court requesting the court's authority to place the baby into protective custody, was that they did mention Jonathan's affiliation, not membership, but affiliation with the Oath Keepers organization, of which Jonathan has posted on their blogs a few times, but is not a dues-paying member.
Well, now, is Jonathan's not military or ex-police, is he?
No, he is not. He has never been a police officer, has never been in the military in any shape or manner, although he tells everybody that he's been involved with and still is involved with black ops over in Europe, black ops in Afghanistan, here in the United States, and that's his excuse for walking around with loaded guns on his hip in public.
Well, now, so I didn't think you'd be members of the Oath Keepers unless you were ex-military or police.
Well, the official membership originally was started that way, but as I understand it, they have opened it up to the general public who was willing to follow with what they believe and follow in their operations, which is extremely non-violent.
Well, now, I have no problem with a man carrying a gun because I do that all the time myself. I mean, I always carry a pistol on me, either concealed or on my hip, but I always carry a gun. So I have no problem with that. But what was Jonathan doing with these guns that would make you concerned?
Well, I can give you two specific instances. At the Circle in Epsom, New Hampshire, there is a Subway sandwich store. And the last two times that I met with him was at that store. And with quite a few people in the restaurant, he walks up to the counter, pulls his jacket up over the butt, exposing automatic handgun that he had, puts his hand on it the way that some arrogant police officers do just to show they've got a gun in public.
Mm-hmm.
And then he blurts out to me across the room, "Hey, Dad, did you see the new 9mm Glock I picked up the other day?" And there was a woman who had walked in the door behind him with a couple of small children. I thought she was going to scream. She turned white as a ghost, grabbed her kids, ran out the door, jumped in her car, and left.
Did anybody call the cops or anything?
I don't know if they did, but I went to Jonathan, and I said, "What the heck do you think you're doing?" "Well, I got a permit to carry it. They can't stop me." That is not what a permit to carry is all about.
No, it
that
isn't.
That is not what a responsible adult does in public if they're carrying a firearm.
It is not. And what was the other incident you want to tell us about? Hang on to the break. John, hang on to the break, okay? Folks, back at the break. What a fast segment. Back at the break. We're going to talk about this some more and take your phone calls for questions next half hour. 800-259-5791. Folks, we need to pay attention to what we're doing sometimes. We don't want to jump too quick. We can get burned. Hey, folks, the phone line's open. 800-259-5791. We'll take calls after bottom of the hour. I do want to hear from you. I mean that. But we're talking about Jonathan Irish. We're talking to his dad, John Irish, who is trying to keep people from making a serious mistake by being deceived into doing something that will make us all look foolish, and to help someone who's not worthy to help. Now, Mr. Irish is Jonathan's daddy, and it does bother him to do this. But we're going to talk about what Jonathan's threatened to do to him since the last couple of days. But now we're talking about, of course, Jonathan's attitude with carrying a gun. Folks, I carry a gun. If you see me in the streets, a lot of times you see the gun on my hip. I'm not showing that gun off. I'm not drawing attention to that gun. It's there. When someone draws attention to a weapon on their hip, to show off, to brag, or to make them feel really macho, or whatever word you want to use, that man is a dangerous, or that woman is a dangerous person. Shouldn't have them around you. Anyone who feels bigger, more powerful because they carry a gun, should not have a gun. Now, that's a fact. That's an attitude that cannot be tolerated in public, period. And I understand that. Now, according to the records, John, they said that your son, the baby was taken as one of the reasons was he's a member of Oath Keepers. What happened with that?
Well, the reason that they are concerned about Oath Keepers is because Jonathan has a fanatical attitude that Oath Keepers is an organization that is to plan to overthrow the present government and bring us back into strict accordance with the Constitution. And Jonathan's feeling on that is that he needs to be acquiring as many guns and weapons to be ready for that overthrow.
And has he been using the Oath Keepers as a means of threatening other people?
At times he has gone around telling people that if they don't back off and leave him alone, that he's going to have the Oath Keepers come after them because they're violating his constitutional rights. I mean, he constantly throws it up in people's faces, which is not what Oath Keepers or any of the organizations like that are about.
Well, now, no, that's a fact. That is very true. So, what has happened as far as he talked to you the last couple of days? What has he told you? Has he threatened you?
In the last 2 days, I've received 2 phone calls from him threatening me that if I dared to say anything against him, that he would come after me, or his people, as he keeps calling them, would come, or his boys would come after me. And then today, I got a phone call from him threatening me that if I were to show up at the hearing on Thursday, which is at the Dover Superior Court Family Court Project building in Dover, New Hampshire, if I was to show up there on Thursday, he has already talked with several of the sheriff's department and the police officers who are friends of his. They have photographs of me, and they are prepared and under orders from their superior officers to arrest me on site and physically remove me from the property and charge me with violation of some non-contact order that, after my conversations with the sheriff's department and the police department, these orders do not exist. Nor has any of their officers been given pictures of me or have any information about me whatsoever. Jonathan just knows that if I show up there and tell people the truth, they're going to turn their backs and walk away. And that's why I felt it was necessary to come on the show tonight, because I have found out that some organizations have started what they're calling legal defense fund foundations. One of them, the address to send the checks to, is in Northwood, New Hampshire, which is actually an address of his mother. And I don't want people getting duped into this, because there technically was a very minor mistake by DCYF of listing Oath Keepers, but the rest of the truth of the affidavit points out the constant and continued injury to these children, Jonathan's continued, and Stephanie's, I might add, their continued contempt of court by not listening to the court when the court told Stephanie she needs to recognize what this physical and emotional abuse is doing to her and her children. She doesn't see it. She refuses to accept it. And Jonathan has been ordered to attend domestic violence anger management courses, and he has blatantly told the court he won't do it.